Welcome back to General Psychology. I'm Matthew Talbert, and I'm here talking with Dr. Liz Mosley. And we are continuing our conversation about stress, how it affects us, but more importantly, how we are able to cope with stress. So there are different types of coping and how we handle our stress, aren't there?
Sure. And coping is so critical in being able to handle things. And so the one way is problem-focused, where problem-focused coping is what they call it. And it's literally what the words say. You're focusing on the problem so that you can cope with it.
The problem that causes stress.
The problem that causes the stress, correct. So the problem is... you have to study for this test that's tomorrow and you're busy. Okay. So the problem is, okay, I'm going to outline my day for the next, couple of hours and give myself some little study times here and schedule them in so that they actually get done. So you're focusing on what that problem is and
right.
going, I need to work on that.
Right.
And then there's emotion focused coping where, I see this a lot. People panic because I've got this test tomorrow and I can't handle it. And so they're in a state of panic and running around and they can't ever focus on the problem because they're so focused on their emotions and I don't feel good about it. And so a lot of times in able to handle stress very well is you have to handle both of those. First, you have to calm the emotion so that you can think clearly enough to handle the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a very common response and an excellent way to deal with stress.
One of the things that I always think about are pet peeves. That we have these pet peeves, and the thing is with every pet peeve, whether it is people driving slow in the left-hand lane,
right,
or not using their blinker, or people who chew loudly, the connecting factor linking all those things together is the fact that it's another person doing it.
Correct.
And I can't change them.
No.
I mean, I can ask them maybe to stop.
Right.
I can flash my high beams or something, but I can't change them. And so I'm almost forced to use emotion-focused coping in order to manage that emotion and my reactions.
That's right, because many of our problems are absolutely out of our control.
Right.
And so the only thing that is in our control is the emotion. And so you have to calm yourself down and do what you can do, and
right.
that is just relax yourself.
So. Right. Now, there are other ways that we deal with stress and how stress affects us, and some of the unconscious ways
mm-hmm.
that, and they're called defense mechanisms. So what are defense mechanisms, and do you have some examples you can share?
Yeah, there are defense mechanisms. The definition the book gives is any mental process used to avoid, deny, or distort sources of threat or anxiety. And the interesting thing, like you said about defense mechanisms, is we don't really realize we're doing it, so
mm-hmm.
it's unconscious to some degree. But there's a huge list of them, and I'm not going to go through all of them right now, but I'll go through a couple of the more prominent ones. Denial is one. You get a diagnosis of a life-threatening disease and you go, no, that you must have the wrong test results.
Mm.
Like you don't even really mm-hmm. think about that could actually be true. You can't handle the anxiety and so you put it off and
right.
you're like, no, that didn't really happen. It happens a lot, right after somebody dies.
Yes.
And you don't you can't come to grips with the fact that they're gone. And so you're like, no, they're still here. They're on vacation or they'll be back tomorrow or whatever.
Yeah, you just feel like they're still around.
Right.
Even though they're not.
Right. Another really popular, for lack of prevalent would be a better word, is repression. And it's when we just kind of ignore feelings or memories so that we can actually function day to day. We see it a lot with children of abuse
mm-hmm.
Where they will have almost no recollection of their childhood because it was so hostile and dangerous and scary for them that they just ignore it and kind of push
so
it down.
So they can't remember the stressful stuff that happened.
Correct.
I see.
Correct. And then we've got things like projection, where I don't like what I'm doing, and so I'm going to project it onto you. Dad comes home. I was going to use a different defense mechanism. It is a little bit confusing. but it exaggerates negative traits in another person. So, a wife is cheating on her husband, And so then she starts accusing him of cheating on her because she can't feel, she doesn't feel comfortable with what she's doing. And so to make herself feel better, she's projecting it onto her husband.
Her own behavior is causing her anxiety.
Exactly.
And so instead she blames him for, or accuses him of the same thing.
Right.
Wow.
And so, or if you're a, you're someone who will, you know, you're really greedy about things, and so you you think everybody else is really greedy, and they're just trying to take advantage of you. So that's projection. And the last one I'll do, just to save some time, is rationalization, because I think this is the one we see a lot. With, especially right before assignments are due. It's amazing the computer malfunctions that happen right before a test is, or an assignment is due, or the alarms that don't function, or the traffic has all of a sudden been not, I mean, can't move through traffic. because what happens is we create this idea of, well, here's this, this blocked my goal. So, it's justifying personal actions by giving a quote-unquote rational but false reason for them, like the dog ate my homework, or I got stuck in traffic, or I was sick last night, or and some and it's when those things are false that we just kind of that we're creating these rationalizing these responses.
Right, so we're not being honest
with
what's really going on with us. And we're trying to come up with other, some people just call it like making excuses.
Right, right.
You know, like your dog ate your homework. That's not likely to happen. But like for instance, I don't want to admit that, you know, I believe a certain way. Sometimes individuals who try to cover up their prejudice, like racism or something, might refer to people in other terms that are more socially acceptable. Whereas what they're really believing is that they don't like them because of their race.
True.
Well, that's very interesting. Now, some of the things that cause probably more stress for us are feelings of helplessness and feelings of depression. How do we cope with that? What do we know about coping with helplessness and depression?
Yeah, it's interesting. As I've studied this, the power of hope is so strong that when you lose that hope, there you develop this learned helplessness or depression, and it is a very powerful source. Learned helplessness is learned. It is an acquired inability to overcome obstacles or avoid aversive stimuli. So what that means is, you know, you have tried to study for that statistics test, and you have studied and studied and studied, and you have failed test after test after test after test, and you finally just go, I just can't do it, and you don't even study anymore,
you
and
just
you,
give
don't,
up.
You just give up. Yeah. And you're like, I'm not even going to try to do statistics because I can't.
Yeah.
And that's just a mindset that you develop. Smaller children will develop that in school a lot, and then like, I'm just stupid. Mm-hmm. And so it's a learned inability.
Viktor Frankl talked about that when he was talking about Jews who were captured and placed into Auschwitz, and he was in Auschwitz. And he talked about individuals, they would get this learned helplessness, believing that they could never get out.
Correct.
That they were never going to be free, that they were just going to die there.
Mm-hmm.
And that learned helplessness was a huge enemy of the hope
that
they needed in order to survive.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And so they have seen that in a lot of with animals, with people, and it's really sad to watch somebody who has just learned to, I can't do it. That's just kind of how they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so that will lead, or in and of itself, or separately, into depression, which is just you know, this persistent feelings of sadness or anxiousness or emptiness, guilt, worthlessness, hopelessness. Difficulty concentrating, remembering details, making decisions. Again, that hopelessness is there, and it's very negative and pessimistic, and loss of interest in things that they used to find pleasurable. And what they have found is that this hope, when it is gone, will lead to that type of lifestyle, and it's extremely difficult to overcome. But they will find that people who have learned helplessness will fall into that depression because, like you said, the people in Auschwitz, they needed that hope to survive. And because they had learned helplessness, they became depressed and they just you know, died.
And he said, and he in his book, he wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl, and he even said in there that when a person succumbed to that, where they lost the will to live, mm-hmm. they learned helplessness, he said they were dead within 3 days.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, yeah. disease, or
their body just
shut down, or they would mm-hmm. do something that the soldiers would, you know, whatever. And it was very interesting. Mm-hmm. I think the silver lining here, though, is that there are things that we can do to overcome that. I mean, a therapist is going to focus very heavily on inspiring hope in someone
Correct.
Who is feeling depressed.
Yes, and learning to find small successes, so even in different things, so that you can, if you can find some success, all of a sudden that hope starts to return. Mm-hmm. Some things that, you know, going back to what we talked about earlier with the problem-focused and emotion-focused coping, mm-hmm. starting to focus on that emotion mm-hmm. and really learning to overcome that so that you can focus on the problem.
Mm-hmm. And coping with stress is extremely important to our overall health.
Absolutely.
As we will learn about in our next podcast, we're going to talk about the relationship between stress and health. And so being able to cope well is going to be valuable for that. And so I'm going to need to learn how to control my emotional reactions to people who chew loudly. Thank you for the time that you've spent with us, and hopefully it's been informative. And we will talk to you next time.